But instead of doing worship time as we normally would, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about worship. One of the reasons God puts us together as a group. I mean, you were saved individually. You didn't get saved by your family. You didn't get saved with your spouse or your brothers and sisters or anything. God came after you individually. But he saved you into the family of God. This is our gathering, our little version, our little segment of the family of God. And we come here to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Okay, and one of the things that we do, one of the reasons we can come together is because we can share in worship. But what is worship? Because we can come here and we can sing songs and not worship. Or we can come here and not sing songs and worship the dickens out of it. It all depends on you and me. Okay, so we're going to talk about what really is worship. Why is it important? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to bring to it? What are we supposed to get out of it? If you don't understand worship, you're going to think, okay, worship is just some people standing on a stage leading music. Now, a couple of years back, I was given an opportunity to go to a big conference in Louisville, Kentucky called Together for the Gospel, T4G. And it was wonderful. They had some great speakers, and it was at the convention center in downtown Louisville. And one of the greatest aspects of this for me was to go into this building with, I'm guessing, a couple thousand other men and women and praise God. I mean, and they had a big band, and they had a professional musicians doing it, and they had a guy who could sing. I'm sure he probably makes records. And to hear those voices together raising their praise to God was amazing. It was amazing. And so I'm not discounting the fact that that level of performance or that style of music or whatever, it can't facilitate worship. But that isn't worship. Worship happened, but it had nothing to do with that. I mean, it had something to do with that in that that was a product of it, but it wasn't necessary to be worshiping. And so to talk about worship a little bit so that we can understand what is it we're trying to accomplish here and what should we be bringing to it. So I did a little bit of study on worship, and I want to share some things with you. Okay, so worship is two things, or can be, or should be, or actually is two things, even if we don't want to accept it or not. It's an act of your heart, and it's an outward demonstration, both things. We worship, or it can be both things, as Bill was talking about. You know, I can worship, and we're going to talk about that. I can worship just by being alone and meditating on God, meditating on Scripture, and that can be an act of worship. We're going to see some other things that are an act of worship. But it doesn't necessarily mean I have to be singing. Can I use singing to worship? Absolutely. Can I use prayer to worship? Yes, you can. And some other things that we're going to talk about in just a second. So let's talk about this. There's an inner aspect of worship and an outer aspect of worship. Okay? There's an act of the heart, and then there's an outward demonstration of it. Can be an outward demonstration of it. Okay, so what is it that we're trying to do? Exalting God's supreme worth. Think about this. You need to think about these things as we're talking about them. We sang a song at the beginning, and we call it worship. Am I exalting God's supreme worth? Supreme. Over myself, my possessions, my titles, or my relationships, am I exalting God over everything? That has to happen in here. It's nice when the words of the songs match up with that, but it has to happen in here. If we are going to truly worship God, we are exalting God for who he is. And he is supreme, and he is majestic, and he is the creator of all things, and he is absolutely sovereign over all things. And if I am not thinking those things, if I am not saying, God, I am acknowledging who you are and how wonderful you are and how gracious you are and how loving you are, then I can sing all the praise songs in the world and not worship. In our minds, we need to be contemplating the character of God, his works, his promises, his greatness, his perfection, his sovereignty, and his love. In our mind, as we are singing the words, and I'm trying to do that as we're singing now, and I'm thinking, boy, I wish I could take some of these words and put them back up there again so you could look at what you just sang and think, are you on board with what the message is? Now, is it important? We're going to talk about what's not important. But is it important that when we are singing songs, that the words tell a message that actually lines up with the truth of Scripture? Yes, it is. And so we have Josh, and he vets them. And sometimes he'll change the words. You've seen that. Because they don't line up. And there are some wonderful old hymns that stink as far as theology is concerned. Sorry if that bothers you. Go through. There's some rotten theology in some of these old hymns. Okay, so it's important when we are praising God that we are doing it in a way that lines up with the truth of God. And so the words are important, but the heart is as important, maybe more so. I could sing a really stinky song and still worship God if in my heart I am doing the things that I just told you. Sacrificing all to Christ. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. And then, no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will know what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. Okay, so how am I worshiping? By sacrificing everything that I am, everything that I have to God. That is my sacrifice to God at the foot of the cross to say, I am a child of God because of you, and now you belong, or I belong to you, and everything I have belongs to you. That's worship. That's the worship God wants from you. If you're holding back, you can come in here and sing all the songs you want, and you are not truly worshiping God in spirit and in truth because you're not sacrificing yourself. Or you can sacrifice yourself and still be in trouble, but prizing God above everything, making him number one. That's an act of worship. That's what that Romans 12, 1 and 2 is about. That is saying, no longer me, God, but your will be done. To live is Christ, to die is gain. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. If you don't have that attitude inside your heart, you can spout all kinds of words and do all kinds of things and not worship. So there are outward aspects. You know, praise with our mouth, loving people, repenting is an act of worship, sacrificing ourselves with our voices, singing things and saying things, doing good deeds, praying, serving people are all or can be acts of worship. We can worship God before we come in if our hearts are ready. We can worship God as we walk down the aisle. We can worship God as we greet people. We can worship God as we serve one another. We can worship God by working in the garden. Yesterday, Jack was out there working in the garden, Jack and Ken. That was an act of worship. They didn't have to be here. They were sacrificing things that they wanted to do for things that God wanted them to do. That was an act of worship. It's very easy to get trapped into thinking worship is just singing songs. And singing songs with the wrong heart attitude is not worship. So, I need my clicker. I'll try not to drop it this time. No, so I do have to say, thank you for your prayers. Last week was almost, it's kind of embarrassing. I frankly remember very little about what I said. I was in a significant amount of pain, and I had pinched a nerve in my back, and it was just really, really painful. And so thank you for your prayers. I'm much better, not great, but better than last week. And where was I going with that? I'm not even sure. But last time I dropped the clicker, and it won't be quite as catastrophic because I can bend over at least now. So what is worship? And Bill had found these things in Scripture, as he told you here before. And we're going to look at these things and say, okay, is this an act of worship, and is this something I could do? So worship examples in the Bible. Paul and Silas singing in prison. Do you know the story? They were preaching the gospel, and they got thrown into jail. And oh boy, this is going to come up later if we get to the sermon. Bummer! God, I'm just angry. I'm here serving you, and I get thrown into prison. Why should I be grateful and thankful and praising you for that? They did. They did. Okay, and when he had received these orders, he put, this is the guard, put them in stocks in the inner cell and fastened their feet. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. And the guy was going to kill himself in the guard. And Paul said, hey, we'll still here. Don't do that. But this was an act of worship. You know, then this was a very clear act of worship. Okay, they were singing hymns and praising God in the midst of trial because their hearts were telling them, I can have pure joy when I encounter trials of various kinds because the testing of my faith is producing perseverance, and perseverance is going to finish its work by making me complete and mature, lacking in nothing. And they knew that. Whether Paul had written it yet or not, he knew that. And he knew that God's hand was on this trial, and he could then find joy and praise God because his heart was right in the midst of turmoil. You can praise God in the midst of the trial. And that's worship. The woman with the alabaster box. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined with him at the table. And a woman in that town who had lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And she stood behind him at his feet weeping. And she began to wet his feet with her tears, and then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. This is an act of worship. This is acknowledging in your heart that Jesus is number one. This is acknowledging that anything I can bring is really worthless, but I'm going to come and I'm going to bring what I have, and it doesn't make any difference what kind of a sacrifice. Now, there's some history behind this. This could have been a perfume that in our days would be worth thousands of dollars. And we, some of the background is, hey, why? Judas was saying, why are you doing that? We could have sold that and kept the money for our ministry. And Jesus says, what are you thinking? She did a wonderful act. In fact, he said, and from here on out, the things that she's done are going to be talked about. And they're in the Bible, so they're still being talked about. This was an act of worship, an act of sacrificially serving, knowing that what's more important than all the things maybe other people are doing, what's more important than the money that this thing is, what I am doing inside my heart to acknowledge that this man, God-man, is the supreme being. We can bring that. We can bring that same attitude, those same thoughts, those same things as we sing, if you do it. It's up to you. Are you going to do it? Are you going to acknowledge as we sing, I am singing to God. I know this is not always the greatest sound, God. It's a joyful noise sometimes. But in my heart, God, I'm acknowledging that I can bring my praises to the one that deserves all the praise and more. And I know it's a meager thing, but God honors it when it's from your heart. God doesn't really care if you're a really good singer, if in your heart you're not really praising him, you're just singing to make the people around you impressed with you. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, I'm glad I don't do that. I don't see you guys put your little things in there. But Jesus did, and he knew what he was doing, and a widow came, so he was watching there, and he put and watched the crowd put their money in the temple treasury, and lots of rich people threw in large amounts of money. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, only worth a few cents. And calling his disciples to him, teaching moment, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others, for they gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything she had to live on. Okay, an act of worship. Is there a sacrificial element involved? There should be. If it doesn't cost you anything, is it really a worship? I mean, I'm going to bring you something, God, but only the stuff I don't really care about. Sacrifice in worship because he's worth it. Because there's nothing you have that God doesn't already own anyway, but he deserves everything you have plus more, and he's willing to honor what you bring when you bring it sacrificially. Now, maybe the Pharisees or the rich people threw in 50,000 times more value, but God's looking at value a different way, right? And that's what Jesus was trying to point out. You value things by the amount of dollar signs that are there. I value things by what was inside of her heart. God, what is she saying? I know I need to live, but I'm trusting you, God, because when you say, I'm going to give from the heart, and I'm just going to trust you to meet my needs. There's a faith that belongs in worship. We're going to talk about that later. Faith and sacrifice. Are you bringing faith and sacrifice to your worship? Sometimes sacrifice is just singing loud when you know your voice stinks and you're afraid what people are going to think of you. Okay, I don't care. I'm going to give that up. I'm just going to sing. I'm not going to dance. Abraham's willingness to obey God through sacrifice. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now that I know you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns, and he went over and took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son Isaac. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Once again, you have faith and you have sacrifice. We need to bring things to God, right? And it isn't just a sound. It isn't just a voice. It isn't just music playing. It isn't just musicians playing. All those things can be and can add to our worship, but without the heart change, without it coming from the feelings and the faith that we have and sacrificially given to God, it's not going to be honored by God. Might be enjoyed by the people around us, but is that really why we do this? Nope, that's it. Okay. So he withdrew. This is Jesus surrendering to his Father's will. He withdrew a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Not yet my will, but yours be done. This is Jesus when he was going to go to the cross. And it is an act of worship to surrender my will to the will of the Father. I'm guessing if you had done that this morning before you came to this building, you would be in an attitude of worship. If you got up out of bed, sat down and meditated on God and said, today, Lord, today, just today, one day at a time, not my will, but thine be done. You'd probably be ready to worship when you got here. And so that's what we need to be doing every time we get together. Not today, Lord, not our will. And we sit in that office and we pray, God, we're going to go out here. It's just a bunch of people trying to do your will, and so we need you to be seen and not us. Charlie, I know I appreciate that. He'll say that almost every time. Let nobody else be seen and heard up here but just Jesus. because we want to worship, because we understand the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. What it isn't. Matthew 15:8-9. These people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commands of men. This is Jesus talking about the Pharisees. Okay. Lip service. Good luck with that. Because God says, I see the heart. I know your heart, Tim, when you come. I know what you're thinking. I know how you're feeling about it. You can worship me with this. Make all the right sounds. It's not going to be acceptable. Or you can worship me in spirit and in truth. And I will honor that. And that's one of the reasons why we come together. And so here's what I'm not seeing. The quality of your worship really depends upon doing it in a style in which I enjoy personally. I think we should be singing more hymns, or I think we should be singing more other kinds of worship, or more modern, or I think we should have drums, or I think we should not have drums, or I'm sick and tired of doing it in the order that you guys are doing it. Or I'm not sure it ever involves the quality of the presentation. Now, do we want to sing our best? Sure. Is that going to really help us worship? No. God knows your heart. Worship has nothing to do with what style of music we play. Worship has nothing to do with how well we sing it, or how well we play it, or how well the piano playing might be, or how well the drums are, or how well the guitar is being played. It has everything to do with what's in here. So think about that. When you're evaluating the quality of your worship, has nothing to do with those things. And you can have an opinion about that. Like, well, I really wish it would be more like this, or it would be more of these kinds of songs. And I have preferences. I like certain kinds of music, and I'm not, especially the ones I actually know. Carol and I went to a church not too long ago, and I didn't know a single thing they were singing. But that's not how you evaluate the quality of the worship. What's in there? All right. Enough out of me about worship.